The scripture reading this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, a few short verses beginning in verse 26. Then Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone scatters seed on the ground and then would sleep day and night, and the seed would sprout and grow, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it is harvest time." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, stir our hearts to be moved by your word, that we might leave this place with your wisdom implanted within us. For we pray this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. A month or so ago, Loudon confessed publicly that in the previous 6 weeks, he had served as executioner for 8 different tomato plants, 2 parsley plants, 8 marigolds, 2 basil plants, and a pepper plant. He admits that he is a failed gardener, willing, perhaps, even eager, just not all that good at it. Now, maybe it's because I have a few decades on him, but I came to that conclusion about myself many years ago. So many that I no longer even try. These days, I garden by a method I refer to as benign neglect. If something comes up out of the ground and it looks friendly, it gets to stay. As an aside, I should mention that the theory of benign neglect does not extend to my next door neighbor's stand of bamboo that has threatened a hostile takeover of my side yard for the last 25 years. But gardening by benign neglect works for me because what I've learned all over time is that there's always something that's going to come up out of the ground with or without my assistance. That's what the kingdom of God is like, according to Mark. A gardener scatters seed on the ground and goes on about her business, trusting the seed to sprout without any further interference, because the ground produces of itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. The Greek here is wonderful. The ground is literally automate, automatic. It produces of itself. It has the power within itself to make a seed become a plant. And so the kingdom of God is like the automatic earth that can be trusted to yield its fruit without any cheerleading or manure or worry on our part. The seed sprouts and grows. We do not know how. Maybe we should just call it agricultural grace. Now, it's a lovely concept, isn't it? If we actually believed it. Jesus says the earth produces automatically, but he fails to mention the blood and sweat and tears required to produce a harvest. You have to fertilize and weed and mulch and water. Above all, you have to worry, right? How else will your garden grow? Is there enough sun or too little? Is it going to rain or will it ever stop? Is that ant feeding on my newly planted bell pepper, or is it just walking by? Like preschoolers with seeds in Dixie cups on the windowsill, most of us have to exercise restraint to keep from pulling up the starter plants to see if they've begun to take root. Gardening breeds worry, or at least feeds a tendency that's already there. In the 1970s, a children's author named Arnold Lobel wrote a series of illustrated children's books about a frog and a toad. The two characters, conveniently named Frog and Toad, are best friends who see each other every day. They visit each other's homes and explore their surroundings together. And in one of the episodes, Toad admires Frog's garden. So Frog gives Toad some flower seeds to plant. He promises that Toad will have a garden quite soon, but warns him, this said with shovel in one hand and wheelbarrow in the other, that gardening is very hard work. Toad runs home and drops the seeds into the ground, then steps back and instructs them, "Now seeds, start growing." He repeats the order more and more loudly, "Now seeds, start growing." Hearing all the racket, Frog stops by and jokingly suggests that Toad might be frightening the seeds. "Just leave them alone," Frog says, "and let the sun and the rain do their work." Toad, however, hears only that he has frightened his seeds, which leads him to launch a 24/7 effort to calm and cajole them into growing. He sets out candles at night in case they're afraid of the dark. He reads them bedtime stories and sings to them during a thunderstorm. By day, he recites poetry to them and plays his violin, all things that would calm him if he were afraid. Finally, exhausted from days of effort, Toad collapses next to his garden and falls into a deep sleep. Frog returns for a visit to find seedlings well above ground with Toad sound asleep and oblivious. Toad wakes up and is delighted to see his flowers, of course, but he tells Frog, "You were right. Gardening is very hard work." Hard work indeed. A whole lot of hard work that has absolutely no bearing on the results. Frog and Toad was written for children. But like most children's literature, the world would be a better place if adults paid more attention to that and less attention to Fox and CNN. Our daily diet of consumer-driven advertisements creates a widespread craving for instant gratification. Clearer skin within 30 days. I lost 18 pounds in 2 weeks. Drive it off the lot today. They'll all be voted out in the next election. It sounds like Toad. Now seeds, start growing. Like every good storyteller, Jesus uses images that resonate with his audience. And the gathered crowd of first century farmers and gardeners know as well as anyone that nothing is going to substantially speed up or slow down the production of a crop. It will or will not happen in its own good time, automatically. And for all the promises of Spectracide or Scott's Turf Builder or Miracle-Gro, the same is true for us. We can plant the seeds, we can water the garden, but we cannot create the growth. For all our pushing and prodding and encouraging and cajoling, the outcome is ultimately not in our hands. In an interview about the Frog and Toad series, Arnold Lobel said that as he was writing, he felt his personality was reflected in both of those characters. Frog and Toad are really two aspects of myself, he said. While we'd all like to be the wise frog, there's a toad in all of us that says, we can't just sit around waiting, we have to do something. But remember, the message here is not just be patient, things take time. The message is that the kingdom of God is not under our jurisdiction. Once the seeds are planted, we do not control the growth. Now, maybe gardening is not your thing, but what happens when the garden in question is your own soul? Most of us are blue ribbon warriors when it comes to tending that garden. There is nothing automatic about that, we think, if we do not manage it and attend to it and monitor it and brood over it and worry about it, we will ultimately fail. Or at least that's what we tell ourselves. The Germans call that angst. We call it anxiety. And there is plenty to go around these days. What if there isn't enough money in the retirement account? What if my child doesn't come home or my parent dies? What if the vaccine fails? What if someone discovers I really am an imposter? What if is how it always begins, and at 3 a.m., that chorus is nothing short of deafening. And so given that, we professional worriers might do well to take a page from the psalmist. Teach us to number our days, Psalm 90 says, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When the market shutters, when the storm hits, or the parent dies, or the child leaves, when the virus rages from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I hope that's where these anxious days lead us. I hope the uncertainty of all that we cannot control reminds us what we have, what we hope for, and what really matters. All things that rest in the hands of a very patient gardener. Amen.